still my heart.
Well, it's another week. This is Andrew Wood, joined as always by Pastor and friend Jason Hayes. And we have some very important stuff to talk about today, and we're going to get to that in a second. But last week, Chuck joined me, and we talked about adoption, and that was fun. And so,
would you say you were wishing that he was back in the chair today, or you're glad that I'm back?
You know, it's interesting. If I'm completely honest, I prefer just to talk to myself.
You just prefer a good hour
and nobody
alone,
and nobody else. No, I'm kidding. That's
fair enough.
I had on this week's Hope Show. Yesterday, I interviewed the writer and producer of Unplanned, which is a new movie coming out. And he also wrote and produced God's Not Dead.
Right.
And I'll tell you off the air, it was an interesting conversation with him on air live.
I would imagine, you know, so.
There's always, anytime you do live radio, of course, we're live on Joy 620. And then if you listen to the podcast, I'm able to, if we say something dumb, I'll just be transparent. I'll probably take it out.
Right.
But we
have done a few times.
We have absolutely done. But when it's live, it's like, oh, yep, that's done. We said it. Go ask Tucker Carlson what that means when you get a chance.
Yes.
So
what'll often happen on this show is our amazing producer Dave will get the eyes from Andrew, which will then whisper or mouth, "We're going to take this out."
There's been a couple of those moments that you'll never hear because we actually took that out live and on the podcast.
Yeah, it got out there live, but we just chose to retract it on the podcast.
So you weren't here last week because you were in Florida.
Yeah, it was I was suffering for the Lord. It was basically modern-day martyrdom.
Florida, yeah,
I was speaking at an event right down in the 30A, kind of Panama City Beach area. We actually stayed in 30A, Carrie and I, and then spoke at an amazing event called Beach Reach, which is connected to Lifeway. And man, it's just awesome. It is a fantastic event that has 400 or 500 college students, what we'll call Beach Reachers. And what they do is just servant ministry to spring breakers that are, in the midst of all kinds of potentially poor decisions. And man, they just love on these students and love on their peers. And so every night what would happen is they would do an evening worship gathering just for the Beach Reachers, kind of before they went out in the streets and did ministry. And so I got to exhort them and pour the word into them. And so it was a really, really sweet week, with those students. Carrie and I went together. The weird thing, I don't know if you've not even had a chance to talk about this. Did you know that Hayden was in a wreck?
Yes.
Yeah, our oldest son, crazy. So we actually Wednesday morning, I'm looking at my phone and I get a quick, notification on my phone that says multi-car pileup, Dutchtown Road, Pellissippi Parkway. For those of you that are out of our area, those are streets in West Knoxville, pretty major streets and highways in West Knoxville area. And immediately as I see that notification, here comes a phone call to Carrie's number. And, it was, from somebody that was letting us know that Hayden had been a part of that accident. He was going to be okay and was okay and he's doing great.
But he stole your car.
Our car. It was crazy.
We were like, no, crazy.
He was riding to school with our neighbors and, someone ran into the back of them, which caused them to hit somebody else, which caused another car to spin out, and it was just a bad mess. So scary, but man, we're really grateful he's doing okay. So how are you, man?
I'm good. Yeah, it's things like that that I'm like, whenever Aaron and I talk about going somewhere without our children, it's like, I don't know. It's like the president and vice president traveling together.
Well, yes.
What if something happens?
What
if something happens while we're gone? But we don't live in fear. But I'm glad.
We're glad
he's okay.
Over the last year or so, really firmed up. We had it already. We have firmed up our will and things of that sort, in light of the fact that we are now doing a little bit more travel where it's just the two of us.
Yeah.
And so, if you haven't done that out there, be sure to do that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next show.
I'm talking to you, Andrew.
things are good. You know, I will say, a lot of folks, if they listen to the show on a regular basis, they know that I drive a 12 passenger van.
Yes.
And so Sunday, I've been really since January, I've been speaking at a lot of churches on Sunday. And so I wasn't able to be at Shoreline this past Sunday, but my wife and kids, were. And then, so when I get back from where I was speaking, my wife says, "I need to show you this." There was a 12 passenger van at Shoreline.
Right.
That is silver. And so if you're listening out there, I need to talk to you. It's silver, but they've lifted it, and it's got bigger tires, and it is like my dream of what I
want.
Was
it parked next to your van?
I don't think so.
Okay, good.
But Aaron got video and pictures of it, and this is the part that this is how I know that God is real and answers prayers. Is Aaron said, you know, Grandma and I kind of like the way it looked.
Oh,
and we it made it look more like a SUV, not
yes.
a giant van.
Yes.
And I said, are you telling me?
Wait 1 minute.
I said, are you telling me that I can pursue doing that to our van? And she said, I think I am.
Wow.
It's like, yeah, amen to that. And so
that is a big day.
And so birthday for Andrew this summer is going to be transforming the 12 passenger
into
an off-road beast that'll never go off-road.
Congratulations. All right, let's talk about something meaningful today. We're going to try to talk about this in a way that I hope is helpful, but we also are going to try to do it in a way that I hope is respectful, but we're also going to have a little bit of fun with it as well. And so tell them what we're talking about today.
Yeah, so today we are talking about it. If you were on social media yesterday, if you watched the news yesterday, the big thing out of Hollywood, imagine that, another scandal coming out of Hollywood. But it appears that Aunt Becky from Full House.
Which is really unfortunate because I loved Aunt Becky.
She's a treasure.
Yes.
Also, she's in When Calls the Heart, which is a great family show.
Right.
That a lot of dudes probably would never watch.
Right.
But I have a lot of girls at my house. And so we, daughters and family members, I mean by that.
Yeah.
And so we have, but her and some other actors and actresses and CEOs have been bribing admissions officials and coaches to get their kids admitted into universities, prestigious at times, not so prestigious at other
and
universities.
And not so much bribing in the sense of like some type of blackmail or something of that sort. No, like a legitimate process that was kind of under the umbrella of a educational group where what they could do is they could pay very large amounts of money that would then trigger certain things that would help their children get into colleges, whether it was faking SAT scores or ACT scores, whether it was establishing them
as an athlete when they weren't an athlete.
Sometimes they would get some type of disability designation that would allow them to take certain tests alone that then allowed them to cheat those tests. I mean, it was a hot mess.
And it was just outright lying. Like, it wasn't, like you said, it wasn't, hey, I have pictures of you and I'm not going to release them if you admit my child, but it was, we're going to give you this money knowingly or knowing that you're going to help us cheat on this test, knowing that you're going to make a fake athlete profile for my child. And, I joked about Aunt Becky, but that's Lori Loughlin.
Right.
And her husband gave $500,000 to get their children into USC.
Which,
not Yale. Not Harvard.
Our listeners are not seeing Andrew's face right now.
Like, I used to work in the admissions world.
Yes.
And USC is a great school. Don't
get me
wrong.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
No, I mean, it is absolutely a
but
great school.
But as you said, it is not
but
Stanford.
$500,000.
It is not Yale. It is not, a guaranteed. I have now attained a degree from this school, and so I'm guaranteed success for the remaining part of my life. That is not the case here.
You know, to pull the veil back a little bit, as I spent a lot of years in undergraduate admissions at a prestigious university in the Knoxville area, and while there, it is clear, and this isn't something that is a secret, you don't have to bribe. You, at any university, you make a sizable donation in the name of somebody or in your own name and you give the money to the university, that's legal.
Right.
There's a strong chance
your
child's going to be admitted when their application comes across the admissions
desk. They have gone through a lot of potentially really unnecessary
for
hoops.
For absolutely no reason. All she would have had it done was shoot me a tweet and said, hey, what's the best way to do this? And I'd have said, write a check to the football program at USC, and your child's going to be okay.
Yes. So it's interesting. I mean, there's all kinds of folks that are connected to this. I'm looking here. There's a famous winemaker. You've got Felicity Huffman, who was from Desperate Housewives back in the day. You've got all kinds of folks here. And interestingly enough, it's on both sides of the equation. It's not just the celebrities that are doing really scandalous thing. It's also coaches.
Yep.
And so that's a whole other issue. I mean, you're getting into NCAA issues.
Well, it's coaches. It's admission officials.
Yes, correct.
And I think it points to the power of a dollar.
Right.
And also thinking, I think there's a part of a segment of the population that thinks we can get away with.
Right.
And I don't think they're going to see jail time.
No.
They're going to pay huge fines, I'm sure.
Sure.
But the thought is, we're not going to get caught. And there's some emails that have gone back and forth that shows that clearly. Like at no point did they think, first off, that they were emailing, that's a paper trail. But at no point did they think we're going to get caught and in trouble for
this. And I think we want to do a couple of things. One, today here, momentarily, we're going to actually try to draw some actual application and try to draw some principles that maybe we can be mindful of and try to identify how does stuff like this happen beyond just the reality that we live in a fallen world, but what is kind of birthing things like this. But I think it's also worth noting that in most of these cases, they actually say that the children were not aware of this. And so I don't want to do anything to, I certainly don't want to be demonizing. Trying not to do that towards anyone, but we're not demonizing a 17-year-old kid who didn't realize that, her or his parents were doing all kinds of illegal things in order to get them into college. With that said, there still were some moments that were just fascinating. And one of the article talked about, one of the students said, well, I did so good on my ACT. I didn't feel like I'd done well on it. Maybe I should just take it again. I could do even better. Completely unaware that their score had been doctored, which is really, really sad.
It's all sad. Yeah. And the interesting thing about that, when he said that, you think his parents were like, no. We're not going to take it again. We're going
right.
to. And Felicity Hoffman, they gave $15,000 to take care of some things for their first child or their oldest child. And they were going to do it with the second child, but decided against it. And so then you're like, well, so did they have a conscience? Did they see we probably don't need to go down this path
which
again?
Which could be the case. Yeah.
And, which I'm hoping is the case.
Sure.
Either that or they have favorites.
Right.
And they're like, the oldest is going to be, going to get in or not. But yeah, I think ultimately it's sad that these children are being kind of demonized on Twitter and social
which
media.
Which is just not.
And it's not. I'm sure they didn't even ask for it.
Sure.
It just happened. And when we come back from break, that's what we can kind of get into of what would cause somebody to do this.
Right.
And kind of what's the driver, what we believe from the outside looking in, what's the driver of making somebody go to this link to get them into the school they want.
Yep. We'll be back. Sit back, relax, put on your traveling gear.
No need to doubt, so put aside your fear. And that's the latest mixtape released by
Shoreline Church.
We're excited about that one. We actually, Jason and I made that in the 90s.
We did. Man.
Good. It's been a long time.
We come in strong with this music.
That's
Thank
good.
You, Dave.
That's
that
good.
Strong.
So before we get back into it, last night I did a lot of thinking about what we're talking about today because I have no proof that my parents did not bribe or kind of intervene in getting me admitted into Columbia State Community College. But now I'm wondering, I thought I got in on my own merits to community college, but now I'm wondering if that is the case.
You're asking a lot of questions, aren't you?
I am.
It feels like something it feels like a conversation might be warranted.
I think I'm going to make some phone calls
this
today.
This evening, yeah.
And a friend of mine commented on my post last night because I said that and said, I'm betting somebody's hayfield got done without any money exchanging hands. And I thought, you have no idea how true that could be from where I grew up. That is 100% could have been what actually got me in to a community college.
Yes.
Where I got a good education. And I'll say this, it's where I met my wife. People like to kind of dump on community colleges.
No, man.
I went to community college, then went on to a 4-year university and finished up. But if I ever become super wealthy, guess who's going to get my money? If
community
I give
college.
It to colleges, it'll absolutely be Columbia State
yes.
Community College.
Yes.
So come on.
I still get quite a few letters from my alma mater.
I'm
and,
sure.
And it took me a few years to not just immediately laugh at that, because yeah. I felt like the first 5 years they should have just known that I didn't have income to be given sure, to yeah. the university. But then secondly, I felt like they still owed me quite a bit from parking tickets.
yeah.
And so I was like, I've made my donations to
yeah,
you beyond,
a lot of them.
Beyond, yeah. Yeah, beyond my actual tuition. I made my donations. They were for $19.99 and, you know, whatever it was, $12 and $17.
When I worked at that prestigious university in the Knoxville area, that prestigious university 1 year gave an honorary doctorate to former Vice President Al Gore.
Right.
Who is a controversial figure.
Correct.
But he's from Tennessee.
Correct.
And, I got an email. For some reason, my email was the email that they chose at the university. From some random person in the state that said, "You will never receive another dime from me," after giving an honorary doctorate to that guy. And I thought, wow, you are passionate about this.
Very.
And thanks for emailing me, because I have no.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask for
there's
it.
There's legitimate. So. Not only could I not do anything to impact this, wouldn't even know who to send this email to.
Yeah.
But it feels good.
So
feels
good times.
But, all right. So let's talk about what causes this to yeah. happen. You know, that this scandal that is about parents intervening. We've talked about parenting mm-hmm. in the past. We've talked about helicopter parents. We've talked about
The other one? Lawnmower?
Lawnmower parents that kind of knock everything down, allow their kids to kind of coast into
Which
things
because
they knocked out all the barriers.
That.
Right. And there's some there. But what other principles or what other dynamics are at play in this, in your opinion?
I think if we try to assume the best, it might be out of just love for their child.
Right.
And they want to go that extra, that's even hard for me to say, go that extra mile to make sure that their child's going to be okay. But I think,
I believe with everything in me that Aunt Becky was absolutely doing this out of love. Only because I'm projecting her Full House character onto her real life personality, which is traditionally not a good thing
to do.
Good
thing. Yeah.
But I am believing the best because her and Uncle Jesse were amazing.
And they also adopted children.
Correct. Yes.
And the interesting thing is if you go back to the original Full House, there is an episode where Uncle Jesse is helping DJ cheat on the SAT.
Mm.
You can't make this stuff up. And so, but I do think ultimately it is a, they have a certain, credibility in their minds, and they run in certain circles that their kids have to go to the best schools.
Right.
It's not even necessarily that their kids aren't going to be successful. Many of these children were already successful in their own right, through social media influence and other things. But I think it's a,
and many of them are bright.
Yeah,
I mean,
it
should be noted that
because I'm sure they've gone to the best schools.
This is not an implication that every. I mean, and we're not. We want to be clear. Also, this report is not circulating because two, Hollywood personalities.
It's
I mean, you're talking
folks.
About hundreds upon hundreds of people. One individual referenced even to the sports at dynamic of it alone of 800 plus families.
Yep.
That he had assisted through exclusively the sports channel of it. And so, we want to establish a lot of these kids, I'm sure, are bright.
Yeah.
It's just they may not be bright enough to get into Yale. And who is? I mean, I think Yale has a sub-5 acceptance, percentage. And so, again, we're not trying to demonize any children here in this, but you do think that it's parents who just love their kids.
Well, I think it would be for some. They may argue, "Hey, this is to get our children into a good school that then will set them up for success in the future." I would, since the children didn't know, I would argue it's probably more. We want our circle of influence. We want our friends to see that our kids are going to some of these best schools.
Right.
Look, when I graduated high school, and was deciding on what I was going to do, I was looking at a 4-year university. I was looking at a community college, And financially, the community college made more sense. And so that's right. what my family had to do. But at no point did I think, well, this is going to take me back and not allow me to get a certain job or
right.
or whatever. But that's the environment we lived in. But think about the environment that these folks live in, where their friends are sending their kids off to Ivy League schools.
Yep.
And they're scared maybe my child isn't going to get into those schools. And now what does that mean for keeping up with the Joneses? It's almost keeping up with the Joneses, but on steroids.
Yeah.
Because we do that even in our context of keeping up with the Joneses and wanting to, well, they're playing this sport, they sure. have this or they have that. But you add in millions and millions and millions of dollars and then they still are doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's, I think there is an aspect of that we want to be proud of our children. And for some people, they want to use their children as something to strengthen their own identity. Mm-hmm. You know, and we talk about, you know, the dad who's living vicariously through his son or daughter, sure. you know, in sports because they couldn't do it themselves. And we see some of those things. But I think there is the times where the culture is saying everything that is associated with you needs to be exceptional. And so the mindset is, okay, well, then so do my children. And they very well may be exceptional and in a number of different ways, but they may not be the ways that the world necessarily deems as of greatest value. And so they could be an exceptional artist, but, you know, getting into some abstract art school in Chicago may or may not seem lucrative
right.
or may not seem impressive. So let's get them into this prestigious academic school at Yale.
Yeah.
And so I think there's, in fact, I was thinking about this last night. So my oldest son, he's gotten two shout outs today in today's show.
It's pretty good.
So it's a big, big week for him. But he, is playing baseball in middle school here, in town, and he's a sixth grader and, he is playing, on the varsity team for his middle school. So that means he plays traditionally against eighth graders.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had a big moment last night. Okay. And he got his first hit.
Yeah. I watched that video and I heard some crazy person.
Yeah.
In the background
that was me.
Yelling.
And the funny thing. So I've watched it 1,000 times, the video, cause I had it recorded and I yell like I mean on the video, it's almost, it truly is obnoxious. Like I've watched it.
It was a good yell.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah. I watched it and I was excited and, you know, I give a big, yeah, buddy, you know, one of those things. And I really did think to myself, truly, I was reflecting on that, and I thought, did I yell that loud because I was so excited for him and I wanted him to be cheered? Or was I yelling because I wanted people to know that he was mine?
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to do something to kind of build myself back up. And again, wow, that is a weird, murky, you know, gray area. But I think some of that's involved even
no doubt.
Here in this.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that when we come back. So today we are talking about an admission scandal that's gone around the country, and we're kind of focused. We have talked a lot about Aunt Becky, and I mainly am talking about her because
Full House. If you don't know,
Google it. You're probably like, who's this Aunt Becky you're talking about?
Why is Andrew talking about his Aunt Becky? No, for those of you that are our generation, we love Full House. Full House was like our show.
Yeah,
TGIF.
Great.
You know, it was our show. Aunt Becky was this most incredibly lovable character.
Yeah.
And as we've joked, we kind of project her character onto her real life, whether that's true or not. She's one of the names that has been highlighted. She's probably no more guilty than anyone else.
No, there's been a lot of folks.
But it makes great headlines.
They've kind of focused on two, and they may be the two biggest names in terms of Hollywood folks. But they're CEOs, they're executives that have also been one family gave up to $6 million in order to get their children into certain schools. And so as we look at this, and we were talking about before the break, that and I think at times we believe that in a suburban context, in a small context, that we are keeping up with the Joneses. But if we just had millions of dollars, all of our insecurities would go away. Everything would be taken care of. But what this proves is these folks have millions of dollars, enough money that they can throw around at a number of different things. And at no point did they think, you know, I joked last night on social media, if my parents had $500,000 to bribe to get me into school,
right,
I could have bought a truck, some land, and been just fine and still went to community college with that money.
Correct.
And so that even though they have a ton of wealth and from a culture standpoint, they have succeeded, they are still doing and dealing with the insecurities that we deal with.
Right. And in fact, I would say, biblically would tell us that degree of wealth not only doesn't make us exempt from some of these issues. In fact, it brings on a whole other sphere of issues. And that is, where often, many of us have, challenges or kind of tendencies in our own heart or tendencies in our flesh towards certain things. But we can only execute those things. Mm-hmm. We can pursue those things, the flesh, to only a certain degree because of limited resources and capacity, where that is not an issue here. You know, I mean, for some of us, we'd say, well, let's not throw a stone here, because if we actually had the resources to be able to bribe someone, would we have felt tempted to do the same thing?
Yeah, because I'm sure the guy didn't call it bribing. I'm sure he didn't reach out and say, hey, I got a bribing deal for you, but he probably said, I know you have money and I've done it before. I can get your kids into whatever school you want.
Right.
And so that's enticing when you have the money.
Hey, I know that Uncle Joey and Uncle Jesse made a couple hits.
That's right.
And so you all have resources.
Yep.
We can get your kids into college.
We can get them into USC. as we look at that, and here's the interesting thing. Some of these folks would say, we're wanting to set our kids up for success, but if they could not be admitted into these universities by their own merits, you're actually setting them up for failure.
Right.
What I would like to see is, were all of these cases just incoming students that have not been in the school yet? Because if they're in the schools that they gave money in order to get into, but they didn't have the test scores and the GPA to get into those schools, I would love to see, have these students flunked out. Like if they got into Yale, but they weren't supposed to, or if they got into Dartmouth, or if they got into USC, did they flunk out? And if they didn't flunk out, then that should create a whole other conversation about the way we look at test scores and GPA and admitting kids. But if they flunked out, then we're going, you set them up for failure, not success, out of, like you were talking about before the break, you may say it was because of your love for your child, but the reality, it was to pump you up and not the child.
Right. I would be curious, and it's just a lot of fascinating dynamics to it. And if you could break down the data, and I feel quite confident that a number of things are happening immediately. I mean, there are psychologists that are studying this. This is becoming case study after case study, and I would imagine this is becoming a lifetime, short film as well.
And Becky may star in it.
Yes, soon enough, you know. But it would be interesting to see the dynamics. I would be very curious to know how many of those children actually wanted to go to the colleges that their parents were trying to get them into. And I think that is something for me as a parent I'm continually trying to learn, is that, who are my children? I want to push them to be their best. I want to challenge them to do everything they do, as the scripture tells us, in a worthy, in a manner worthy of the gospel. I want to challenge them to go full on. But am I asking them to go full on into things that are more based around me and my interests and things that I like? Or really being able to identify, who are they as a child? Who are they going to be as an adult? And really pushing them towards avenues that are going to be best for them, that they're going to flourish in, mm-hmm. And I've got three different boys, and all three have unique personalities, and they are all going to need three different academic environments, without question. They're going to need three different academic environments. Maybe that can all fall under the same umbrella of the same high school or university, but they will grow, learn differently, and they will have different interests at the end of it. And so that's, again, something to consider. How are we parenting?
Well, and we also have to know, what are we saying to our children? And so I remember when I was working at that university,
the
prestigious one in the Knoxville area, and I got a phone call. Some would even call it the land grant institution of the state.
Right.
But I got a phone call from a parent, and we were talking about her, her child who had a very, low GPA, low test score, going to a good high school, but just didn't really have the scores that he needed in order to get, right. get admitted. And I remember telling that mom saying, look, I would highly encourage and recommend your son go to community college and get back on track and work on some study skills. And she just completely laughed it off. Like, he's not going to community college. Right. And so I took offense. And so I said, ma'am, I went to community college, for 2 years. And she went and look at you and look at you now. And I was like, there's a lot of people that, like, I don't know if I should be flattered or offended. And look at you now.
Look at you. You've made it out. You're a success story.
And so I remember hearing that and going and just thinking, like, she's already put a shame on right. anyone that may go to a community college.
Right.
And but the reality is, maybe it's a technical path. Maybe it's yeah. community college. Maybe it's a 4-year university. Maybe it is Ivy League right. because your child is super smart and gifted in those areas.
Right.
But we have to talk through all of those things and be honest and not try to immediately eliminate things and again, set our children up for failure.
Yeah. And the ironic thing is in these days, you want to talk about where the demand for jobs is. It's in trade,
yeah.
you know, like,
and
hey,
you make really good money.
Yeah. You go learn to be a mechanic. Go learn to, you know, to be a plumber. I mean, any of these things, man, that, and how many friends and people do we know that have fantastic yeah. college educations that are struggling to find a career path,
yep.
you know? And so, I hope the principle that we're drawing out of this is let's love our children mm-hmm. for sure. But let's love our children responsibly. This is a huge piece. There's a difference between just, as we've described in the past, just kind of mowing down every obstacle for them, or once they've gotten into a certain situation, then kind of hovering around right. it and doing the same. That's different. So love them, but love them appropriately. Then how do you love your children? It's by knowing them, knowing who they are, how they're going to flourish. And putting expectations of excellence on them, but not necessarily expectations that they look exactly like your life. And that is right. where I think some of the traps have fallen into in this particular situation.
Well, and we have to be at a point where when I say don't set them up for failure, that doesn't mean you don't allow them to fail. There's going to be times where we should allow them
Absolutely.
To fail so they can learn. But we have to, in the same way we don't parent out of embarrassment. So if we're out and I have young children and if they're throwing a fit, I'm not going to spank them and run into that situation because they're embarrassing me in front right. of all the people. But some people, that's kind of our bent. We're going to parent because we're in certain environments and we're going to parent a certain way. And in the same way in this, we don't parent out of shame or embarrassment. And so if the path for them is community college or 4-year or an Ivy League or going to get a master's or becoming a doctor or becoming a plumber or a tradesman or electrician, whatever that looks like, these are just conversations to have within the family dynamic. And I think that's okay. And what I would say to anyone listening to this as a parent, that if you deal with some of these insecurities, is looking and saying, it's okay.
Right.
It's okay to have these conversations. These are the children that God gifted you with.
Right.
And so how are we going to steward them well, love them well? And ultimately, regardless of what direction they point, they go in, how are we preparing them to take the gospel to the nations
yep.
in the marketplace or in ministry or whatever that looks like?
Yeah. We'll talk a little bit more about this when we come back.
We should just play that out the rest of the show. That's good.
This is a classic.
That is good. Dave's on his game today.
He is, Dave. Well done. I tip my hat to you.
Yeah. And so as we finish up, we just have a few more minutes to talk about this. But and I know we've made light of a lot of this, and mainly because no one was physically harmed. I think that's
right. In fact, we were in fact talking about. You know, like the FBI came and
at 6 a.m. and arrested.
Yeah, like banged on a door and
like, come on.
You know, I mean,
like,
yeah.
Is that needed? Is that necessary?
Like,
probably
I'm
not.
I'm pretty sure this lady would have just turned herself in and.
No question.
Yeah.
And the one that they did that to, I mean, in the grand scheme, only gave $15,000.
Right.
And so.
Which says,
again, I'm not law enforcement. What I know.
It says a lot about how many times things are done that make great headlines.
Yeah, you know. Exactly. And so as we finish up, though, what we do need to talk about is, and we were talking off air, is what do we deem as success?
Right.
And are we allowing culture and society determine success for us? Or are we looking at our children as individuals, as image bearers, and success may look different for each of them?
Yeah, and that principle is true not only for our children, but just even for us. Yeah. And so I think sometimes actions like this might seem to be an indicator that success is unproportionately being put on career or a certain degree of tier or a certain tier of career or a certain income level, that this is what happiness is going to look like. I want my kid to be happy or I want my family to be happy. And so this is how happiness happens, by having this career that brings in this kind of money. And the way that you get that kind of career with that kind of money is by having this degree from mm-hmm. this school. Whereas, do we really believe that? No, hey, listen, those are not the things that bring us our greatest joy. You know, we really do believe that we can work a 9-to-5 and yep. we can kind of be in a normal situation, kind of common, ordinary situation, and be fulfilled with it. And it doesn't mean, again, we're not, I'm not enabling apathy. I'm not
sure,
saying that.
Yeah.
But not all of us are in lucrative roles and you know these super high end platforms. That's okay, because our joy and our satisfaction isn't birthed out of those things. It's birthed out of Christ. And Christ blesses us with a number of other things, whether it's friendships, relationships, whether it's our family, our children. I mean, these are things that we can, our church, these are things that we can find joy and to a degree even happiness in.
Yeah, and so I think that hopefully that's what you, hopefully stories like this will make us look at our own parenting and look at our children and go, okay, how are we,
right.
Would we have done the same thing if our bank accounts looked the same
that's
way?
That's what I was going to say.
That's an honest assessment.
As much as we've joked, we have to ask ourselves how susceptible are our own hearts to temptations mm-hmm. like this? And that's where we want to draw.
Because we'll bend over backwards to justify a lot of things.
Right.
And I'm sure these families are now going, hold on, I gave money to a consultant. It wasn't in the guise of that we were going to be bribing
right.
anyone.
Right.
I thought this was the process. And so sure. we'll, and now from the outside looking in, you're going, really?
Come
that's
on
what
now.
You thought?
Right. Right.
But that's what we do. We justify yep. things.
All right. So before we wrap up today, we got the Big Hope Banquet
right,
coming. Give us a little bit of information
yeah,
about
April
that.
25th. It's going to be at the Holiday Inn, World's Fair Park downtown. It's going to be a great night. You know, the interesting thing about God's timing is so far in 2019, you've seen laws out of New York, Vermont, Illinois about abortion. A lot of people are talking about it. Unplanned is a new movie coming out dealing with the issue. Tennessee just passed the heartbeat bill last week in the House. And so a lot of people are interested in what's going on at Hope Resource Center, and you can learn more and hear from one of our patients on April 25th. Go to investinghope.com. You can sign up, and we'd love to see you. We still have a little bit of room left, and so we'd love to have people out there.
Yeah, I would say, man, I go to a lot of banquets, and this is one of the best.
Come on.
This is a really, really great opportunity to know what they do, kind of interact with the mission
sure.
of Hope. And, man, by all means, we'd encourage you to be
yeah,
there.
It's going to be a fun night. Talk to you next week.